Why that mattered, to know his nature so you can actually have fellowship with him. All those messages are online. Last Sunday we started talking about the role of the Holy Spirit, of which we said he's the one that draws us to Jesus. Without the Holy Spirit, we cannot come to Jesus. And he's the one that keeps us focused on Christ. And you're here because he drew you to be here this morning. And, of course, many of you came up with other roles of the Holy Spirit as the scriptures you had been assigned. And so the reason why this has been very important or very significant for us to talk about is because of the theme scripture we've been doing, 2 Corinthians 13:14, that says the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship. And we know that many people have no problems of what the grace of Jesus is, the love of God, is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit that we need to focus on, because that's the missing part. And we want to experience that fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We want to have that intimacy, that friendship, that walk with him. You are not only supposed to just know about God the Father and the Son, you're supposed to also have fellowship with God the Spirit. And so today, I want to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit, part two, and then before we move into something else next week. In John chapter 16, verse 7, Jesus says, if you have that red letter Bible, that's in red. It says, but very truly I tell you, it is for your good. Now, Jesus says it is for your good. Some Bible says it's your advantage. In our today, you say you got the edge, right? That I am going away. Jesus said, I'm going away. It's good for you unless I go away the comforter. Now, some Bibles, it would say the advocate or the counselor. But it's the same Greek word. It says the comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you unless I go. And if I go, I'll send it to you. So Jesus says, this is good that I go away, because the comforter, the Holy Spirit, I was with you, but he's going to be in you. And he says, I'll send you the comforter. You see, that word, comforter, is from the Greek word parakletos. And the word kletos is where the same root word for comforter, advocate, counselor, it's all interchangeably there. But the word para means one who comes alongside. Not one who comes ahead of you or behind you, but alongside. Come on. Can I get an amen there? You know, there's some people that go ahead of you and they tend to manipulate and control you, right? People that go behind you, they tend to backbite on you. But people that are alongside are just, they're with you right there, you know. That was for free. But he comes alongside. So when Jesus says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, he says there's going to be someone who's going to come and walk alongside you. As you walk this faith walk, as you try to follow Jesus and live for his glory, the Holy Spirit will be the one that will come and walk alongside you. But here's what I need you to see. Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit as a comforter. But in verse 7, that's when he talks about the comforter.
But let's understand this in context. So I wanted to go back to verse 1 through 3 and see what Jesus talks about. Are you together with me? Okay. So now, first of all, today, last time we saw he draws to Jesus, the role, the other role he plays, he's my comforter. But in verse 1 of chapter 16, now, before he talks about he's your comforter, he gives us what he's going to do, why we need a comforter. In verse 1, he says, all this I've told you so that you will not fall away. Look at verse 2. They'll put you out of the temple. They'll put you out of the temple. In fact, the time is coming when anyone who kills you will give their offering a service to God. And then he says, in verse, they will do such things because they've not known the Father or me. So in Jesus saying he's a comforter, in context saying you're going to need the comforter because you are going to be persecuted. You're going to be tortured. They're going to do such things like killing you, stoning you. They got stoned, not like getting stoned like people get stoned, but they actually got stoned. They got beat up, you understand? And Jesus said, because that's going to happen, because that's part of what you're going to go through, I'm going to send you a comforter. Why? Because you're going to need to be comforted. So Jesus was telling them, you're going to be my followers, but there's a price to pay. There is a cost to pay. But because this cost that you have to pay will make you uncomfortable, you're going to need a comforter because there's a price to pay in following me. Now, Jesus never hid the cost of following him. Unlike what we do today in our churches, we hide the cost of following Jesus so we can have our seats full of people. We just want to tell you it's easy and it's good. But Jesus never hid the cost. He told them plainly, there's going to be a cost. And friends, I want you to know, we don't want to be a church that hides the cost of following Jesus either. There is a cost to be fully a devoted follower of Christ. It's going to cost you something. So Jesus says, they're going to do such things like what? Verse 2, put you out of the temple. I mean, drag you, beat you up. He said, this is the cost going to cost you. And says, therefore, because of what you are going to go through following me, you're going to need the comforter of the Holy Spirit. You see, in a Western culture where we are programmed to be comfortable, we miss out the role of the Holy Spirit comforting us. Because we are so comfortable. I mean, we want comfort. We pay for comfort. We check out where it's not comfortable. We complain when it's not comfortable. Because we want comfortable. And then when we come to follow Jesus, we don't want when Jesus becomes uncomfortable. So we follow Jesus as long as it is comfortable. When it gets a little uncomfortable, we don't follow all the way. And so the Holy Spirit, who's supposed to be our comforter, cannot comfort us because we are not willing to pay any price that makes us a little uncomfortable.
Come on.
Amen.
Yeah, that's true.
Here's the thing. Nobody will comfort somebody that's comfortable. So if the Holy Spirit is going to be my comforter, I got to have some things in my walk with God that I'm willing to do that makes me a little uncomfortable. And following Jesus, there is a cost to pay. And until you pay that cost, you can't fully be a devoted follower of Jesus. Let's say, following Jesus often demands you to step out of your comfort zone. To do the Bible, to live this book out, it's going to get you out of your comfort zone. And the Holy Spirit says, Do it. I'm here. I got you. If you do the book, he says, I'll comfort you. You see, this is truth, even though it may seem hard to say. In my own walk, it's the only moments in my life that I was willing to do what was uncomfortable that I actually experienced this role of the Holy Spirit as a comforter. You see, these days we don't hear so much of people that claim to follow Jesus talking about giving up something to follow Jesus. You don't hear people say, I gave up that relationship because it was affecting my walk with Christ. You don't hear people say, I gave up that dude because he was causing me to get into sin. You don't hear people say, I gave up that job because it was affecting my walk with Christ. You don't hear people say, well, I gave up that ticket because I wanted to be in worship. You don't hear people say, well, I gave up a free dinner so I could be at a prayer meeting. I mean, we'll be at stuff for God as long as there's nothing conflicting. Because we are not willing to be uncomfortable, so we cannot have the Holy Spirit comfort us. And until I'm willing to be a Christian that says, I'm going to pay the cost, I'm going to be willing to get out of my comfort zone and do what pleases Him, that is uncomfortable, that's when the Holy Spirit comes and says, all right. Because Jesus says the comforter, but you told him why the comforter was coming. You see, I got to give you a quick testimony. You see, like when I married Sandra, I struggled. Even like, I mean, talk about prayer. It's uncomfortable. If you have to pray every day, what's easy is to go prayerless. Right? Going to prayer meeting, going to church. I mean, there are a lot of things we do in our walk with God. It's uncomfortable. Even giving to God. But when we got married, we were in school and we got married and started working before I did. And she was very, very strong on tithing. And she always says, I have to give God 10%. Now, I was on and off. I struggled with that. In my early days of my walk with God, I was on and off, and I tithed when I had enough. And when stuff came up, I'm like, no, I'm not. God would understand I can't do it because it was uncomfortable, so I wouldn't do it. But she began to speak to me and show me, like, you know, it is God's will, we're going to do it. So we got married and became a tradition of our marriage and our life. Like, from now on, that's what we're going to do. We're always going to honor God no matter what. And we've had stuff come up like everybody else. Stuff comes up. And you see many of us, when stuff comes up, that's when we put God on pause. You're like, God, I got to do a new fence on my house. So, hey, wait. Oh, God, something came up. Now I can't do it. Because now it becomes uncomfortable and we check out. So, quick story here. So, it has been the tradition of our lives. We just said we're going to stay at it, be faithful. And God has been... I can't tell you how many times God has just come through and helped us, you know, because we stayed the course. But I couldn't have stayed the course if it wasn't her influence in the early days of our marriage. Because even though I knew what to do, I wasn't doing it all the time. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Knowing what to do, but you never do it all the time. So I knew what to do, but I wasn't doing it all the time. And fast forward, Sonia starts school. She's doing her master's program and she's going to school and it's costing money. And we said, we're not going to take student loans, so we're going to pay out of pocket. So then the comfortable thing is saying, well, we're going to cut stuff out, but we can also cut God out. But that would be the comfortable thing to do. But it wouldn't be pleasant to God. So we come in and say, we've got to stay faithful and do to God, but we're still going to pay out of this. We're going to pay out of pocket. And it's been working fine. And God's been blessing us and blessing my work and stuff like that. And we've been able to go ahead. But just about last quarter, for the first time, we were behind. We were behind because we couldn't pay our full tuition. We couldn't. And so, and time went on, and we paid half of it, we couldn't pay the rest. And of course, here's a bill coming, here's a phone call coming, we need that tuition. And I'm telling you what, the Holy Spirit intervened and comforted us. Just about 2 weeks ago, somebody comes up to me and gives me a check. This check was $5,000.
Amen.
I said, what? He's like, God just told me that I need to give this to you.
Wow.
$5,000. The moment I got that check of $5,000, I knew the tuition is paid.
Yes.
But the Holy Spirit stepped in and said, you are doing what's uncomfortable. I will comfort you. And his comfort sometimes is that his intervention. He steps in and says, I got this covered. But the Holy Spirit cannot comfort you unless you are willing to say, I'll be uncomfortable. I'm not going to follow what makes sense. I'm going to do what pleases him. It's uncomfortable, but I need a comforter in my life.
Amen.
Number two. So as we call this, guys, think about it. When is the last time you gave up something for God that shocked you? Or shocked people around you? Like, I can't believe. Yeah. I mean, when is the last time? Just watch that if you want to experience this comforting role of the Holy Spirit, be willing to get uncomfortable for him.
Amen.
Be willing to pay the price, the cost.
Amen.
You know, Jesus said in John 17, verse 16, he says, you are in the world, but not of the world. You are in the world, but not of the world. Because the world has a way of doing things. The world has a way of doing marriage. The world has a way of raising kids. The world has a way of managing money. The world has a way of doing everything. And Jesus said, you don't have to do everything according to the world. You are not of the world. And so the Holy Spirit says, I'm going to come and my job is to not take you out of the world, but to get the world out of you. So you can do things that are not of this world, that are not comfortable, and I will comfort you.
Amen.
I'm currently taking Daniel to swimming lessons, and the reason I enrolled him in swimming lessons is not to keep him out of the water, but to keep the water out of his body.
Amen.
So I'm like, you need to go to swimming because you got to keep the water out of you. And so the Holy Spirit says, you are not of this world. John 17, verse 16. You are in the world, but you're not of it.
Thank you, Jesus.
So as I'm willing to do what pleases God, the Holy Spirit is taking the world out of me. Because
yes.
I am not of this world.
Yes.
Look at that. If you want to be a fully devoted follower of Christ, there's a cost to pay. Now, if you don't want to be, there's no cost to pay. If you want to be average, mediocre, Christian, then there's no cost to pay. But if you want to be fully devoted, if you want to be known by the Father, if you don't want to have any doubt when you stand before God for him saying, well done, good and faithful, there's a cost to pay. If you don't have any questions in your head like, man, will I make it? Will I? Then there's a cost to pay.
Right.
And I don't want to hide that cost from you. Amen. Can I get amen?
Yeah.
Number two, the Holy Spirit is my sanctifier. Sanctify. Now, that's an old word, but this is what it is. Jesus said in Romans 15, verse 6, he says, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles, he gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles may be common over him, so to God. Look at that. Sanctify by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, what he does, he sanctifies our lives.
That's right.
He, what does the word sanctify mean? It means to clean and set apart.
Yes.
You clean and set apart. You clean and set apart. So you're not any ordinary person. You're set apart. And the Holy Spirit is here to clean you up and set you apart. To sanctify your life. Now, I don't know about you. How many of you grew up with some china in the house? China cabinet?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, you didn't come from home and you wanted a glass of milk and you went in the china cabinet. You didn't want to make some peanut butter jelly sandwich and went in the china cabinet. Because your mama would lose her mind if she saw you do that. Why? Because that stuff was set apart. That was clean and set apart. It was sanctified. You didn't mess with it. It was china. Don't mess with it. So when God says you are sanctified, it means you are cleaned and set apart. You are not to be messed around. That junkie can't mess with you to mess around your life. You've been set apart, sanctified by God. Now, how does the Holy Spirit sanctify us? That's the question. How does he sanctify us? Let's go to the Bible. John 16, verse 8. This is red letter in your Bible. If you have the red letter Bible, it says, and when he comes, he'll convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Holy Spirit is supposed to convict me of sin.
That's right.
He's supposed to convict me of righteousness and judgment. Now, if somebody says, well, I mess up all the time, I never feel anything. Well, it's probably because you've shut the Holy Spirit out. A Christian has to feel convicted, not judged, but convicted. The Holy Spirit convicts me of sin. What is sin? What is wrong? The Holy Spirit shows me what is wrong. He convicts me of righteousness. What does that mean? He shows me what is right. Then he convicts me of judgment, why I need to fix it. So the Holy Spirit is a good friend. He says, this is wrong, this is what's been right, and this is why you need to do it.
Amen. That's good.
As a parent, or as many of you are parents, this is what you do. You tell your kid, that is wrong, this is what you should have done, and this is why we do it. So that's how he sanctifies my life. You see, I've been helping Daniel with homework at home. And we go through homework and he got something wrong. And I'm telling him, okay, that is wrong. That's not the answer. That's not the way you should do that. Erase it and do it this way because that's the right answer. So he gets his little hands and begin with the rest and begin to erase. But as a helper, I look at his work. And I'm like, no, you didn't erase very well. Because I still see the little marks from the old pencil in and out. And what do? I take my hand and I erase everything plain, clean, slate. I erase it completely. And I said, now do it. And I'm thankful because one day I was doing that and the Holy Spirit spoke to me and he said, that's what I do with all of you. Because you cannot get over your past. Because sometimes you erase your past and you're like, man, you still hang up. I wish I could have, I wish I had done this. I wish I had done that. The Holy Spirit comes and says, come on, stop that. Let me help you erase it. So the Holy Spirit erases it all and says, now start over again.
Yeah.
And you make a mistake, he erases it all and start over again. Because when he does erase it, you can't see the trace anymore. Don't you thank God that your mistakes, my mistakes, are not written in ink. They're written in pencil. They can be erased. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. So he sanctifies us that way. Can I get an amen? He convicts us of sin, what is wrong. Then righteousness, what we ought to do. And then he convicts us of judgment, why we need to do it. Judgment, the Bible says of the devil that he's judged because he knows his time is short. The Holy Spirit tells you, fix it now. Why? Because he said, there's no time. We don't have all day to try to fix our lives. We don't have all day to try to get it right. He says, there's no time. So the Holy Spirit brings a sense of urgency. A sense of urgency in your life. That, you know what? I need to fix this. I need to get this done. I need to get it under control. There's no time to waste. And that's what he helps you to do. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So I say, Holy Spirit, help me know the urgency of life. He sanctifies me. He's my comforter.
Yes, yes.
And the Holy Spirit is my intercessor.
Oh, yes.
My intercessor. The word intercessor means one who prays for you. Now, if I was going to pray for you, you don't have to do anything. You just do whatever, be wherever, and somebody prays for you. But the Holy Spirit to pray for you, he has to pray through you. Follow me? He's in me. And he has to pray through me in order to intercede for me. Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit intercedes for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. The Holy Spirit intercedes for you. He takes your place in prayer and prays for you. Now, if I never give myself to prayer, then he can never intercede for me. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't sit over there on the chair to pray for me. No, he's in my heart.
Yes, amen.
So he's going to work through me. So if I never give myself to prayer, he can never intercede for me. I have to give myself to prayer in order to allow him to intercede for me every day, every time I can, every time I go into prayer, every morning when I go into prayer, I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to intercede for me, to pray for me.
Yes.
If I don't give myself to that, he can never pray for me. I don't know what to pray for, but he knows what to pray for. He knows what's supposed to be prayed for. And I'm telling you, until I allow him to pray through me, there's some things in my life that can never be broken, never be changed, until I find that place of prayer where the Holy Spirit says, I got you, let me pray for you over this. And this is the biggest reason why the devil fights prayer in your life. Because he knows if you can get into prayer, then the devil will lose an edge, because the Trinity steps in. The third person of the Godhead steps in. Your helper, your comforter, the Holy Spirit. And the devil knows if the Holy Spirit gets into the game, he's got no chance. So if the devil wants to keep you in bondage, keep you in that struggle, keep you in a struggle for years, he's going to fight prayer tooth and nail in your life. I could say we have a prayer meeting, and the devil will make sure it goes through one ear through the other. I could say there's a prayer meeting, the devil will make sure you never heard there was a prayer meeting. The devil will make sure you never qualified to go to a prayer meeting. The devil will tell you you're not good enough to be at a prayer meeting. The devil will convince you there are better things to do than be at a prayer meeting. The devil will convince you that you don't even need to get up in the morning and call on God because you're not good enough. He will lie to you because he knows. If you can just step into the realm of prayer, into a discipline of prayer, he knows you begin to get an edge that the Holy Spirit brings into your life that begins to cut off the devil's supply of your life. You know, I can tell you something. Say and I were dating for 5 years. I never recommend anybody to date that long. And I knew that that as a Christian, sex out of marriage was a sin. And we never wanted to sin against God. So we said, we need to stay pure, we need to stay holy, we need to stay righteous. And I can't say, and in testimony, that we got married and we had never, by the grace of God, we stayed pure until we got married.
Amen.
But it was hard.
It was hard, man. It was hard.
But it wasn't because I was strong. Because I'm a lot more stronger today than I was 20 years ago. I'm talking about 20 years ago. I wasn't as strong as I am today. So it wasn't because I was strong. The only reason we're able to make it was because of intercession, because of prayer. Here's why I think it was. The Holy Spirit got to show me this whole. It was because of prayer. It was because of prayer. So I went to a church where prayer was every Friday. Every Friday. It wasn't once a month.
Say that. That's right.
It was every Friday. Every Friday. I caught a bus. I walked. But Han and I were always in prayer every Friday.
Beautiful.
We met. We just went to prayer.
Amen.
Here's what happened. So we go to church. Oh, we go and we pray. And we're Friday night praying. And what we're doing, we're allowing the Holy Spirit to intercede for us. Because he knew we are just about to screw up. We're just about to mess up. Because, man, we are two people that love each other, crazy about each other. And we're praying all these things like, God, have mercy. I was like, God, help us. Please don't. And then on Tuesday night, go over to her dorm. Because we're both in college. And here's what. She had her own room at her college. I had my own room at my college. So nobody was in the way. Because we had our own room. So we'll go to the college. Now Tuesday we'll be praying Friday, and you're like, you know, we're gonna sit away from each other. Okay, hi, and you talk. Next thing you know, somehow I don't know, you find yourself close to each other. You're like, how do you even get here? You know, next thing you know, it's body to body. You're like, oh, I feel some electricity going through my body. Lord, have mercy, help me. And you're not, you've been praying Friday night. But now, man, the flesh is getting stronger right now. And we're there, and we're just talking, and just talking. And then you're like, I gotta go. And I gotta go last for 2 hours. I gotta go, and then a story comes up. And okay, I gotta go, and then a story comes up. We gotta go on this, and you're just enjoying each other. You know something is happening. The chemistry is blowing up, and you just feel like, oh my goodness, oh God. And then we're like, okay, good. And then you walk out, and she's like, I gotta walk you to the bus stop. We didn't drive. She's like, I gotta walk you to your bus stop. And then after the bus, I'm like, I gotta be a man. I can't let you walk back. So I gotta walk you back. So I walk her back to her bus stop. And then she's like, oh, but I gotta walk you back. So we walk back, and we walk back, and all this is going on. And finally, you make it on the bus. Now you're like, man, what? I mean, and then you go back to prayer. Oh, God, have mercy, Lord. Help me, Lord Jesus. You hear the word, and you're in prayer meeting. You don't feel that because of the prayer meeting, the Holy Spirit says, I know. And the Holy Spirit is praying for you, and you're in prayer. And then strength is coming back up. Strength is coming. And then next week you go back. Hey, hi, how you doing? And then we'll do the whole thing. But because we kept going back, this was unavoidable because I loved her and I wanted to be around her and I wanted to be. So this was unavoidable. But this was a choice. This I had to choose. And the more I chose to be in the place of prayer, whenever the doors open just to pray, the Holy Spirit said, I got you. You're almost falling, you're almost sinning. You're almost blowing it up. But I'll pray he gives me some strength and I'll go back because this was, I can avoid this. But he helped me tremendously.
Amen.
And he could have helped me until I allowed him to pray through me. And there's some things in your life, friends, there's some habits that will never break. Not because you don't know what to do, but it's a stronghold. It will never break until you make a choice to go to the place of prayer. If there are things that psychologists can't fix, things and habits you can't break, struggles you can't overcome, addictions you can't overcome, the Holy Spirit says, I know it. I want to help you. That's why I'm here. I'm your friend.
I'm here to walk alongside you. I'm the one that brought you to Jesus. I'm the one who wants to present you to Jesus. I got you. You're going to allow me to intercede for you, but I can't intercede for you if you don't make it available, if you don't make the choice to be a place of prayer. And I'm telling you, until you decide to say, I'll be a man of prayer, I'll be a woman of prayer, I'll make prayer priority in my life, I will make it. I'm telling you, you'll see the Holy Spirit take your life to another level year after year. And I'm telling you, as a pastor, I've seen many Christians who are the same for 2 years, 3 years. The needle hasn't moved. But I've never seen a Christian giving themselves to prayer and the needle fails to move. He's my intercessor.
That's right.
And he can only intercede for me if I make prayer a priority in my life.
Beautiful.
I have an assignment for you today. On your table, I want to ask you to read John 16, verse 12 and 15. And we have 15 minutes. But I want you at your table to discuss that. The first question is, what defines truth? And then to what is the role of the Holy Spirit in that text as you read it? And then number three, what's your responsibility in attaining the truth? You know, our church, we want to be a church that gets busy, gets involved in the Word, discuss and talk about it, all right? So I want to ask you if you take a moment right now at your table. Let's read that text, and we'll be glad to get some feedback from you guys once you get out of that. Amen?
Yeah.